A new analysis of U.S. Census data finds that Alabama has one of the largest gender wage gaps in the country. In 2011, the typical working woman in Alabama was paid only 74.2 cents for every dollar the average man made. The national wage gap was 77 cents. Fatima Goss Graves is the Vice President of Education and Employment for the National Women's Law Center, which did the analysis. She joins us now to pick apart the numbers. Welcome, Ms. Graves.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So your analysis compared full-time, year-round working women and men on a state-by-state basis. What geographical trends did you find?
Well, you know, one of the interesting things is if you look at the states with smaller wage gaps tended to be on either the East or West Coast. And in the bottom 10 states, they included Louisiana, West Virginia, Mississippi, and Alabama.
So a fairly high representation of southern, southeastern states in that bottom of the barrel.
Yes, there's no question.
Is this about institutional sexism in the workplace, or is it maybe something a lot more, and I don't know that this is the right word, but let's say practical? You know, I've got three kids. I worked full-time from the time they were born, but many of my friends and colleagues took time off to stay home with their kids, and they often had a hard time reentering the workforce, and certainly reentering it where they would have been had they not left. Could women as a group just be making less because we tend to be the ones who have disruptions in our work advancement for caretaking?
You know, the wage gap is something, and the contributing factors to the wage gap is something that has been studied time and time again. We know that, for example, occupational segregation is one of the things, the fact that women's jobs pay less because they are being performed by women and women's work is devalued. But people have really tried to study it to determine in a single workplace, is discrimination a contributing factor? And they have controlled for everything you can imagine, for education level, for hours worked, for time spent out of the workplace. No matter how the data has been sliced and diced, the wage gap persists.
Many years ago, I interviewed someone who was an expert in gender communication styles who talked about how women talk with people versus how men talk with people. And I wonder, in that reams of research that you've been through, obviously, on the gender wage gap, if you've seen anything that's addressed, you know, communication style and whether maybe women just aren't communicating their needs strongly enough or in a way that is convincing to employers.
Well, it's interesting. There have been people who have studied women's negotiation styles, or lack thereof, the fact that women don't negotiate for salaries in the workplace in the same way that men do, and that when they do negotiate, they do it in a different way. But there have been additional studies that have found that when women do ask for more, when they do try to negotiate for higher salaries, they're perceived very differently than men, even when they use the same language.
Perceived how?
Well, you know, sometimes they're perceived as too aggressive. It comes across as a turn off in ways, and then they don't get the pay increase for that reason or experience retaliation.
The wage gap is nothing new. I remember being a girl in the 70s during the debate over the Equal Rights Amendment, and they were talking then about women making 75 cents on the dollar to men. 40 years later, we're still looking at roughly the same margin. And there's also legislation that's having a hard time getting through, the Paycheck Fairness Act that is trying to get through Congress for the last couple of years that would close loopholes in the Equal Pay Act. First of all, remind us what the Equal Pay Act is and what are the loopholes that the Paycheck Fairness Act addresses?
So the Equal Pay Act is a nearly 50-year-old law that basically says you cannot pay men and women different salaries for doing the same work. And there are a range of reasonable reasons that employers could say that this is why I'm paying a man and a woman different wages for doing the same job. There could be a seniority system of some sort. But the problem is that the Equal Pay Act also has this huge loophole defense, and that an employer can say, look, I am paying John and Jane different salaries for the same job. It's not because of sex. It's because of some other reason, and name some other reason. And that loophole, that justification, has really allowed some employers to argue that, look, it's okay to pay different salaries for men and women for nearly any reasons, even if it's entirely unrelated to their business. Another huge loophole right now in the law is that in many workplaces, employers can fire women who simply dare to ask about salary.
So in the last two Congresses, the U.S. House of Representatives passed the Paycheck Fairness Act, but it fell short in the Senate in 2010, and the current Congress blocked it by a procedural vote in June. What's at play here politically?
The Paycheck Fairness Act is hugely popular when tested, and it was at one point in time bipartisan. So, you know, there is a problem of the current climate. And this is a bill that has been blocked. So there's been a majority of people in the Senate who have supported it, but it has been blocked by absurd procedural maneuvers time and again. But the fact that this is something that the public wants and that people care about means that this isn't going to go away.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thanks so much.
Fatima Goss Graves is the Vice President of Education and Employment for the National Women's Law Center. We've got a link to their state-by-state analysis of the gender wage gap on our website, wbhm.org.